It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
The following is a presentation of the Belly Up Sports Media Network.
You are now in the Corn Roof Podcast, a sports podcast from Belly Up Sports and the Belly Up Podcast Network. Here is your host, Jared Clinton.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back into the Corn Roof Podcast. I am your host, Jared Clem, alongside this amazing cast of characters. Joining us now, live off of his return from WrestleMania, the CM Punk fan, the wrestling addict himself. Apparently you can't see him, unlike John Cena. Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Lipoff.
Oh my God, Jared. In once-of-a-lifetime experience of WrestleMania, I never in my life thought I would be able to ever go to WrestleMania. I am buzzing right now. I'm still off the WrestleMania high, but I'll talk about it later if we have time.
We'll give you a little time at the end of the show today to go over your WrestleMania experience. Ladies and gentlemen, also joining us now is the man, the myth, the legend, a TikTok swagger god, the man who single-handedly has kept some of our social media afloat in certain months. He's a Jets, Yankees, and wrestling fan as well. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Matt Swagoo or Dazzo. Matty, how you doing, bud?
Oh, I'm doing well. I can't begin to express how probably amazing that main event was for WrestleMania. Night two. I can't think of another main event that was as good as that one. But the Triple H era in wrestling is alive and well, and it's going to be flourishing for that. You guys like my cosplay of John Cena from Sunday?
Dude, I was hold on. Why not? Why not us?
He's got the hat on and everything. I love it. All right, by the way, this show is brought to you by the amazing folks at Belly Up Media, who have been sticking by us with this show for now almost 6 years. Holy smokes, half a decade plus. That being said, today's drink of choice is Lawson's Finest Liquids Mad River Maple Ale. It's a maple syrup beer.
You know, there is
maple
water
syrup beer.
I have water right here.
Oh, okay. I never see you drinking water.
I actually drink a lot of water, actually. I drink beer basically three occasions. Hanging out with friends, watching sports, or playing, like, basically, let's say, hanging out at home and watching some kind of entertainment. So, Xbox, movies, media, whatever. Hanging with friends or doing the show. Besides that, I really don't, occasionally a meal, but, like, not as much as you'd think.
Beer and water.
Juan Soto, his first home run as a Yankee in Yankee Stadium.
There you go. Mm.
Damn, three-run shot. Volpe just hit a three-run. Where's this exit? Oh, it's a shorty. 384.
I would love to talk about the Yankees and their – who are they kicking the crap out of now?
Oh, Marlins.
Oh, that's like
– Yeah, like, they're
– That's
they're
like one Chris fighting his five-year-old cousin over a candy bar.
Where's – Oh, good one. Pulling out the dad joke. Oh, my God.
Chris's best friend is back.
Damn right.
All right.
Oh, we're boys now. We're once in a lifetime.
Oh, yeah. Boys for life. This is why we have to kidnap Chris and bring him out there for the Fantasy Football Expo, Matt. So we had a crazy weekend. The UFL, one of these – I seriously implore you guys to watch it. It is actually very fun. I watched about half of the DC-Houston game, about two-thirds of the DC-Houston game. I watched a little bit of the first, the San Antonio-Memphis game, and I watched a little bit of the Michigan Panthers and Birmingham Stallions game. All phenomenal. I was very impressed. The quality of football is so much better than it was last year, the year before that, or even during COVID. And by the way, that DC Houston game was a rowdy riot. I saw my boy Corn Elder from the U. Shout out to the greatest kick return of all time. Ran back a 98-yarder for a TUD. That was great to see. My boy Matty Corral can still sling the rock, which is awesome. He is.
They still got the DC Defenders. Do they do the beer? Oh, they got the beer snake still?
You're making me a DC fan. Like, I'm not going to lie. It's hard not to root for the Defenders, man. They're fun.
I became a fan of them just because of that beer snake.
Boys, I have an assignment for us for next Monday. Since you boys are, since it's going to be me and Chris, it's Thursday. Maddie has got to take a sabbatical for a week. I have an assignment for next Monday. We all have to pick a team.
Yeah, we all have I'm to watch. Right now.
We all have I'm to watch looking. Highlights, if not a full game of all the. We don't have to watch all the games, but highlights. I want to actually start covering the UFL. I think it's something we can watch. I think it's something we can enjoy. I honestly was very impressed with the competition. So I still haven't picked a team yet. I love rooting for Matt Corral. So, like, you know, the Birmingham Stallions would be great, but they're also the two-time defending USFL champs. That's kind of like – it's like a layup, man. It's kind of sucks. But, like, you know, with the XFL, you know, it's going to be cool, you know, because, like, Defenders are fun. Roughnecks are fun. Renegades, I feel like they were such a fluke team last year. But either way. It's going to be a fun time. We're going to pick our teams by the end of next week's show, and we will have our rosters of who we root for, and we will actually start covering this going forward. That being said, that is the coolest thing. Like, the amount of fun I see fans having at these games, it makes me miss the fact that for about 30 seconds we had the New York Guardians, who I actually was trying to root for.
I tried so hard to be a fan of them. Matt McGloin just ruined it. And the guy, I think it was Luis Perez or something, he brought me back, but the beer snake got me.
Dude, Te'amu dropped an absolute beauty in the bucket. The tight end made like this ridiculous one-hand grab for the Defenders. I was like, holy smokes, man. Like, this is a different breed, man. This is real football. I'm loving this. But, yeah.
I hope Zach Wilson
UFL, this weekend, I give a solid A-. There was not a lot of bad games.
I hope Zach Wilson never falls to my DC Defenders. I can't do it.
Put Zach Wilson on the – like, who's the team? I guess – I feel like – I think either – was it Memphis or I think one of the Houston teams needs a quarterback. Just call up Zachy W, man. He'll be rolling out, calling Cougars, chucking nukes.
Dude, I'm looking at the San Antonio Brahmas. Did I say that? Brahmas?
Yeah,
I don't know, dude. I want to pick a team with like the cleanest drip, dude. I'm like cop a hat if I really. Dude,
honestly, the Stallions. I gotta go with Kelsey's boys here. The Stallions with that red and gold is kind of clean. I'm not gonna lie, but also I like the Houston Roughnecks because that red, white, and blue Texas flag getup is kind of clean too.
Wow, Kelsey's a fan of an Alabama team.
Michigan Panthers, it looks like a high school team.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, dude, I might roll with the St. Louis Battle Hawks.
Oh, yeah, they got drip.
That drip, dude, that, like,
that
people
was,
see, they me, were and, people hell, see me in the barn and they're like, Battle Hawks fan. I'm like, you're right. You're goddamn right.
Kevin and my boy Sawyer both have Battle Hawks gear because they were trying to make that a thing right before COVID happened. All right, anyway. Oh, yeah. Also, our boy Destroying plays for the Brahmas. He's actually like our decent kicker, which is like, I love he finally got his pro shot. That made me root for this league even more.
Is Christian Hackenberg in there or is he?
I don't know. I don't even know.
Because he was a starting quarterback for one of the teams a couple years ago and he was so bad.
Okay.
That I think he made it one game.
Maybe Kelsey can contribute to this because I don't know where the heck do I pull stats from? I don't know. Do I have to go with, like, do they have an official app? Do I have to go to their website? Where am I pulling this from?
But you just have an XFL app. It's right here. I'll tell you who's leading right now.
Well, I you don't have to go through it right now, Chris, but I like just so I can check and prep for a show, that'd be great. But speaking of prepping for a show, guys, there was a pretty good basketball game on last night, wouldn't you say? I'm not much of a women's basketball fan by any stretch. Nobody's gonna ever say I am. But last night's game of South Carolina and Iowa actually kind of brought me to the thing. So this is our Women's National Championship Game recap presented by SeatGeek, promo code Bay of Sports, for $20 off your initial purchase at checkout. So last night, of course, congratulations to the first undefeated team. I believe, I don't know if ever or a while. My women's college basketball knowledge is very limited to the last like 4 years. But the South Carolina Gamecocks with my friend, with friend of Eagles Nation, fellow Bird Gang member, Don Staley, rocking Eagles drip every single game, which you gotta love. But they won last night, kept Caitlin Clark semi-human looking. Because, you know, like, she's unbelievable, obviously. But, yeah, so final score, 87-75. Caitlin Clark dropped 30. The leading score, what's crazy, this is the leading score for this is how well-balanced this roster is for South Carolina. Their points for on South Carolina's team for the starters was 11, 15, 14, and somebody off their bench, Tessa Johnson, had 19. Very balanced attack where not a single person on the Iowa bench scored a point.
Yeah, listen, South Carolina came in and said, listen, we are the Gamecocks. We are here. Size matters. And they got about a 12-er lead over them, 87-75. Caitlin Clark, I think, had like 17 or 18 points in the first quarter, and then I think she had about 10 or 12 for the rest of the game. So whatever the defensive shifts that they were doing, it was working on them. It didn't work with LSU, but it worked with South Carolina. And they get the job done. I mean, they were just a much more well-balanced rounded team. And like you said, Jared, they were moving the ball around. Hence, you know, there was, I don't know, four or five different people that had double-digit points scored for that game. But just shout out to them. They just figured out a way to stop Caitlin Clark. They neutralized it, and they've won the title.
Mm-hmm. My favorite, I think, thing about all of how this game turned out was you just watched like the initial highlights. The first eight things you see are Caitlin Clark going corner three, like the old Peter Griffin, like when they're playing the Tecmo basketball or whatever, and like corner three, just taking advantage down from like the other area code, just
taking advantage of pure technology.
Oh my god, and it was amazing. And then like you start seeing the end of the game. How you pronounce her name? My brain is racking itself. Cardoso. Cardoso from South Carolina, 17 boards, 15 points. That is the best big man game I have heard all night. That is awesome. I love it. She was unstoppable. Some of the blocks she had, South Carolina just looked like they looked better. Caitlin Clark was battling to the end, but you kind of had a feel, and I'm like, she'd have to drop 60 or else they're not winning this game.
Those stats were like prime Andre Drummond. When you get like 15 points and like 18 boards, and it'd just be like, you know, an Andre Drummond night.
There's a guy I haven't heard in a while. Shout out to the Connecticut resident himself.
Right. So now is Caitlin Clark, is she declaring?
She's declaring. That was her final game.
Damn. She could be one of the greatest women's basketball players in college to probably ever, and also to ever not win the belt or the title. Same thing. Could she be let's get a little controversial. Could she be a future Caleb Williams of the WNBA? Just somebody that can't get the job done? Nah. She's going to be amazing.
Bro, she going to come in and drop 40.
Nah. She's going to be amazing.
She's going to walk in and just go full Maya Moore, just start dropping 30 a night and like being like, either that or she goes to the big three during the offseason and drops 30 there.
No, she's going to be great. You could put her on the Pistons, and she's going to be the best player on the Pistons. She'll be amazing in the WNBA.
I think
who's got the first pick in the WNBA draft?
I have no idea.
I hope it's the Connecticut Suns.
Yo, honestly, Maddie, if it's the Connecticut Sun, we'll go gamble our asses off. Oh, I cursed. I apologize. The first
one. Wow, Jared.
When we say gamble our rear ends off, Jared and I are like $5 to $10 better. So, you know.
First pick. Looks like it's Indiana Fever.
Oh, man.
That's wonky.
Well, I mean, listen, the marketability will be great.
Yeah, well, it's Indiana.
Boys, you know, we made it 14 minutes without anybody cursing. I think that's a record. Good job. Good for us.
Curse 30 seconds.
I had to think about it when I was – if I ever pause when I talk, it's because I'm remembering.
I mean, for those of you who don't know, we are trying to bring up our rating a little bit when it comes to the cursing. Yeah. So you want our unfiltered talk, maybe we'll do that like live on our IGs, or we'll do like one show a week where we do that. But like, it's especially for the podcast, maybe we'll kind of work some way in where the Corn Booth pregame, we get a little bluer. I don't know. But with the
I'll just curse on our TikToks.
Yeah, same. But I feel like it was kind of a right direction, especially with the fact that we're the only show at Bellyape who curses that much, where we have a rating difference.
I would love a censor button. Like if we can just
You know what? Listen, we'll all invest. We'll have me have a little producer thing here and go.
Yeah. I would like a nice censor button. In case there's
no way that it can automatically go off if it hears a swear.
I'd have to go back and edit it, or I'd have to.
We would have to be in charge.
Have the quickest trigger on the planet.
What if we just start cursing in a different phrase? Be like, "What the fudge," or like, "What the double he hockey sticks." I don't know. I don't. I'm just trying to work out an idea.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, if anybody is upset about this, blame Kelsey Coyne.
No, do not blame Kelsey.
I will second that. I probably will blame Kelsey just because it seems like the blame's going in that direction. But if we're going to throw the blame on someone else, I'm cool with that too.
You can blame me for wanting to better this show and wanting us to be better and more wide-reaching for our viewership. Now, we are still the crazy mother effers we always have been.
I mean, all right, so let's blame Jared. You in, Maddie?
I mean, somebody's got to get blamed.
Yeah.
Dude, Kelsey's the man, dude.
That's why I said Kelsey.
We're actually best friends. It's actually crazy.
All right. So that pretty much wraps up an amazing women's basketball season. I actually watched more women's basketball this year than I had the time I actually worked the dang tournament at Webster Bank Arena. Back when Breonna Stewart was playing – and I remember UConn beat South Carolina. This was, I think it was Don Staley's first year. I think they beat him by 60. Mm. Also, I got to meet Breonna Stewart and Doris Burke. Doris Burke was one of the sweetest women I've ever met in my life. Like, she was so nice. I just wanted to hug her. She seemed like everyone's the cool aunt you always wanted. Then you have Breonna Stewart, who's just really tall, awkward, and very, very nice. And I was just like, oh, you're really pleasant. Thank you. Even though you have the awkwardness, you are the most awkward human ever. But I kind of was like, I respect it.
How tall is she? Yay high. I would love
So I'm 6 foot in any kind of footwear, right? So he was about that tall on me, and I'm just like, oh, hello. She's 6'4", so.
Oh, she sounds like she would hit your ceiling.
Yeah, well, I mean, these are 6'5" ceilings, so.
Oh. A couple more inches, man. I might hit the ceiling. I'm 6'2".
What kind of heels are you wearing tonight, Chris? 12-incher?
Yeah, I got my boots on.
There you go. We're putting our boots on. All right, time for the other game. Presented by the amazing people at canifs.com. Promo code BELLYUP20, which gives you 20% at checkout. Men's National Championship game preview. Gentlemen, so tonight we have UConn taking on Purdue. The National Championship game we kind of all half saw coming. DJ Burns and them boys down in North Carolina State just did not look like they had it. Very unfortunate. By the way, the line right now is UConn -6.5. For all those you gambling outside of Connecticut, because the money line right now, according to ESPN Bet, Purdue is +250. UConn is -310. The line's up to 7.5 if you bet on UConn at +110, which is wild. Over-under is at 43.5.
If I was able to actually gamble on this game, since I am in Connecticut, so I can't. Purdue money line is kind of tempting in a way, because UConn is UConn's not the greatest, but the close games are the ones that, like, if we can get you on a double-digit, you know, distance, we're going to take it from you. But this could be an interesting game. If they keep it close, it could go and produce favor. So, I'm, you know, I'm, when I say money, I'm talking like 10, 15,
Hey, Chris, bucks. If I Venmo you $5, can you put on Purdue for me?
I don't condone those actions, no.
Oh, my God.
Family-friendly podcast. We do not condone gambling.
I found Jesus the other night, so I don't do that stuff.
He was like, we need to be more professional, and he's like, I'm going to go pray.
That's right. You know, it's funny. I just came up with a little, you know, hypothetical scenario. Purdue wins a national championship. Purdue's in Indiana. Caitlin Clark gets drafted to the Indiana Fever. Is it time to be all in on Indiana? I might invest some money tonight in Purdue. Now, you guys can't because you guys are in Connecticut. I mean, I could do it for you, but you know what? Like I said, I found God the other night, and I just refused to, you know, dip my hands with the devil in gambling. I might do scrapbooking now or start painting. I might find a new hobby. I'm not a gambler anymore. I'm done. Look, I'm going to take my hat off.
I'm going to turn full heel Boston Connor. He is going to start scrapbooking. Chris, yeah. I pray to God that you come on one day with a scrapbook. I will post that all over our social medias.
Yeah. I'm gonna start painting. I only do hand turkeys, though.
Yeah, I haven't gotten past that yet either.
Yeah.
Oh my God. All right, man. So, go around the horn here. I think Purdue covers, but I think UConn just, man, they don't lose. They don't lose, man. It's all fair. It's like trying to watch these guys. I'm like, where's the weakness in the entire ball game? They look like they're playing with their food against Alabama.
Yeah, second thought, I might put my hat on. I look like Cousin Moe's.
If you start running like this, then we got problems.
Yeah.
Danger.
All back.
Fear.
Yeah.
I'm a powerhouse. I'll let you swing, Matt. Yeah.
No, it's same thing. I mean, not saying that just because I'm a Connecticut native, but I just UConn just seems like it's just fate that they're going to win this again. They're just unstoppable. Nobody's been able to come close to taming them this year. Purdue is going to be a great team. It's going to be a very tight, close game. I think this will be the closest game UConn has had this whole series, but I'm going to take UConn end of the day.
Yeah, I'm rolling with the UConn tonight. It's a win-win for me. I'm a big UConn fan, I'm a big Purdue fan, so I really can't lose this. So whoever wins, I'm probably going to go to their championship parade. But I'm not going to drink. Because we're a family-friendly podcast, and I don't do that stuff anymore. Water till I die.
Yeah, Swagoo is done ripping clouds on the stream.
Mm-hmm.
That's until the stream's
over. Put it away, dude. You know what? I might hang a cross on my wall.
All right. I'll put both of you guys in timeout for 5 minutes. I'm done with your bull crap. All right. So I love these two, but they're also busting my chops because I went on this holier-than-thou rant about how we have to clean our act up. Because we have a wider audience now, we have to make sure we are not, you know, this isn't just podcasting in mom's basement. Now, both of them are in Chris's penalty box, presented by the amazing people at Righteous Felon. Promo code BELLYUP for 15% off at checkout. Some of the best beef jerky snacks around. Maddie actually just picked up his first batch. I believe this came in last week. He will tell you about the taste and flavor of these bad boys. Maddie, what do you think of Righteous Felon?
Oh, it's amazing. They're all gone. All three fucking packages. Ah, jeez.
Back in the box. Dang it. Come on, man. We made it 23 minutes without an F-bomb. Oh, man. Damn, man. Oh, all right. Are you good? You got out of your system?
He's
more professional than you are today.
Mark, note this down. You can beep him at the 23rd minute. So it's like he didn't even curse.
I don't care. Let him slap me with a red tag for the one F bomb Matt slipped out.
I don't. You know what's funny? I swore he said fudge. But that's just me. That's just me. Man of God.
This ain't the Pat McAfee show. We can't have like a ticker in the background. Since we dropped an F-bomb.
Dude, yeah,
The flavors are good.
Well, definitely actually, Chris, perfect. You have all this open space behind you. You have to hang up a whiteboard that says days since somebody cursed.
Yeah, dude, that'd be sick. Like just like The Office. Yeah, I'll get a little clipboard or something, or I might put like a big, you know, whiteboard and just tally how many days we can go.
Also, you could put like some random Woody Page-esque quote for the day.
Yeah, you know what? I might write like a new quote like every single day. I might just write the most random quotes. I don't know what I'm gonna write. I might write quotes from the podcast, you know, do a little promoting. Good marketing strategy there.
There you go. All right. So, Chrissy, you may or may not receive an anonymous donation from Gamblers Anonymous tonight.
I don't do that stuff. I deleted my apps. I told you. I've changed. I've seen the
same man who told me he bet on Russian soccer has given up gambling.
Dude, that was Chris. Now, actually, I don't really have another nickname. That was Blackout Chrissy. Now it's just Chris with a K. I've changed.
This is Mormon Chris.
Mormon Chris, dude. I might move to Utah and just change my life.
Get off four or five wives, you know.
Yeah, dude. I gotta get in the church.
That's stressful.
I know.
One's fine.
Yeah, and she's watching.
Yeah.
Matt Blanket, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Oh God.
I don't know how
you gotta go, guys. Three.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Matt, we may have to do to address you from Mr. Ordazzo. No, I'm just kidding. All right. Final thoughts of this game tonight. We've said so much about it all year. It's going to be the battle of the big men. Edie is Zach Edie. He is a machine. And Clingan, whatever his name is just an angry dude blocking shots. And the fact of the matter is Zach Edie beat up on DJ Burns, at least on the scoreboard. Now, is somebody going to be able to stop on UConn? If it's going to be Clinigan. Something Irish sounding. Anyway, yeah, it's going to be a fun game tonight. Too bad I will watch 30 seconds of it before I pass out because I got to be up at 4 a.m. for workout tomorrow. Woo!
Dude, it was
built. I'm not built for the night games anymore. Once I get to 9:30, I'm struggling.
Yeah, dude, honestly, it's like the one thing. It's like I kind of miss like not having to get up for work. It's like 9 and just going to the gym at like 7 a.m. or like 6:30 because like I could stay up till midnight watching a game. Like I'm going to get MLB extra innings, but what's the dang point if I can only watch the games on the weekends?
Dude, my life has changed so much. I come home, I eat dinner, go upstairs, I read a couple chapters. Read a couple chapters of the Bible, and then I go over to Diary of a Wimpy Kid to finish my night, read a couple chapters of that, and then I'm out by 9 o'clock. Up at 5.
From the Corinthians to the Diary of a Wimpy Kid.
And right. Greg Heffley told me, deny.
From the first book of Roderick.
Listen, Loaded Diapers and my Spotify Wrapped. They're the greatest band of all time. I don't care what anybody says.
What the hell, man? Oh my God. All right, we got to get into the draft prep because we're already almost a half hour in already. All right, so final thoughts growing on the board here. Who covers, who wins? I'll start. UConn wins, Purdue covers. Maddie.
I'm going the sweep. UConn wins and covers.
Chrissy.
I'm going UConn all around.
Oh, I thought you didn't gamble.
Well, you know what? You thought I'm changing my name right now. Like the
we're back to ripping, Chrissy.
Where's it at? Dude, I can't hold back this clean slate for so long, dude. It lasts me a half hour. I gotta go back.
Hey, get your cursing out now. Start cursing. He's actually cursing in the background. That's the best part. All right, bring you back.
Oh my God. All right, so anyway, yeah. So Jesus has told me that gambling is bad.
All right. Oh, gee. Holy hell. I can't with you, man. All right. We got to start NFL draft talk. We're going to start off with my top five offensive line prospects. Now, bear in mind, nobody wants to hear me talk about tackles and centers and guards for a half hour. What did I do? I made it so we can talk about interior and exterior linemen. I said that right? I said that right. All right, that all being said, I've got on a ticker. Woo! Oh, starting at number five, we got Big Jackson Powers Johnson out of Oregon. I love this kid's ball game, man. He is a super strong anchor of a human. One of the best zone and gap blocking guys I've watched in this class. Played on that phenomenal Oregon team, obviously, that went to the Pac-12 championship. Top 20 talent, highest ranked interior guy on the market. I'm a little confused why he was ranked so far behind some of these other players. I may have ranked somebody who's not even in the draft anymore. We're about to find out in about 30 seconds. But, yes, Jackson Powers Johnson is my number five. We're going to the tackles. We're starting out with Troy Fautuano. We're going to go with that. One of the most athletic tackles I've seen in the class. So he's mislabeled here as an interior O-lineman because CBS Sports lied to me. He is listed as a tackle here. He's number three, actually, on the board. A phenomenal athlete. I was very impressed. Oh, that's why. Because he can start as a guard or a center or a tackle. Turds.
I can't wait till you get to number one. You have to read that name.
Let's see how you work that one out. He hasn't ranked at like five. I haven't ranked at one because I love this kid's tape because I think he bulldozed like a couple linebackers. I was like, okay, he's number one on my list. All right. But Troy is one of those dudes. He fits his own blocking scheme great. There's a lot of teams who run that, especially in the pro level. 13th ranked prospect to Pro Football Talk when it comes to the big board. And he was on that Washington O-line that kept Michael Penix up almost the entire season. We're going to number two. Actually, no, number three. Talese Fuongo. Right? No.
Fuonga. Yeah.
He is out of – I don't even know what college he's out of because I forgot to write it down.
Dude, you don't know Tony
– Oregon State.
Thank you.
Funyuns, what's his last name?
Funyuns.
I quit. Oh, my Lord. All right. I had to go back and look at this guy. Big, athletic, can move. One of the few bright spots in the Oregon roster, and apparently I can't find his damn scouting report. Oh, my God. I'm failing at the offensive lineman. My fellow offensive lineman would hate me for this. All right, I'm going to tackles now because I'm just sick of this crap. All right, number two, Joe Alt. Come on.
Alternative.
We all knew about Joe Alt. Oh, here's my Fuongo tape. Never mind. He is a strong dude with good foot speed. I knew I got that right.
Maddie, this list looks like if you were waiting to see if your school got canceled because of the snow.
Yeah.
All right, Connecticut High School, 2 hour delay. Son of a.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I never had a day off.
We're on to number two, Joe Alt. Listen, we all heard about Joe Alt. We all heard about he was the number one tackle prospect for the last year and a half, but then he was okay at the draft combine when it came to strength. The IQ is there. He's a top 10 pick to me. Do I think a team's going to take him top 10? Probably. I think some team's going to reach. This guy I have above my ranked higher because I love everything about this dude because he's a freak athlete. He's very Tristan Wirfs-esque to me. That is – bear with me here.
It's going number one.
Moaya Fushanu from Penn State.
Olympic fashion. That's what I'm just going to get. That's what that looks like, and that's what that sounds like.
I am so sorry. I hope I didn't offend anybody. I am trying so hard to get this right, and I am screwing it up royally. Okay, I love this kid's tape because he has such a high ceiling for how raw he is blocking. And he had to take on some of the best edge rushers in the country in the Big Ten last year. And he's only going to get better. He had, like I said, Tristan Wirfs-esque to me. Raw talent, freak of nature, a lot of upside. That's why I have him over Joe Alt, because I will happily develop a left tackle over 2 years than throw a guy in who's got a low ceiling.
Fair.
All righty. Boys, thoughts on, one, my pronunciations, two, my rankings.
Well, I think you had solid rankings. Your pronunciation, on the other hand, I mean, I'm no expert, but I don't think any of them are correct.
It's going to be a no for me, baby.
I'm willing. I have no idea how to pronounce them, but I'm willing to bet that that's probably not.
Oh, I guarantee it. Airball. Airball.
But at the same time, I never would have thought Tua's last name would have been pronounced Tagovailoa. So you never know.
Hey, I like it. Yeah. Listen, it's everything about this is cool. You got the whole, you got like a weather reading setup. You got I don't know how you said that guy's first name. I'm just going to go with Olympic Fashion. I probably insulted him. I'm so sorry.
Chris is going to get us canceled. I even cursing.
Yeah, I'm working on alternatives to get us canceled.
Yeah. Hey, if he's for some reason watching this right now, if he can tell us in the chat how to pronounce his name.
I honestly, yeah. You want to hit me? I give you full permission. You got to put it on stream though.
I thought that was about to be the guy. I thought it was gonna be Olympic Fashion telling me like how to pronounce the name. It's just Kelsey.
Me and Kelsey have two very different schools of thought when it comes to ranking O linemen. I like freak athletes with a lot of upside. He likes guys who are proven. No knocking there. It's just the way I look at it. All right. Mm. We're going to the other big fellas. Aspects. Number five, we're going north. Michael Hall Jr. Of Ohio State.
Look like default Madden names.
What?
These look like default Madden names.
Yo, right? After the tackles we just had, this is what we got.
Johnny Newton, like Byron. Oh, well, I can't say because you're doing your rankings, but, you know, just read them. Just read them.
My biggest thing about Michael Hall Jr. is I love that he is a great 4-3 defensive tackle. That is what I love about his game. He's an athletic, pass-rushing 4-3 D tackle. Remind you of a couple guys, I don't know, back in our childhood, a little Dominican Sue, a little Fletcher Cox.
I like those names.
Effective, productive pass rusher specialist out of the defensive tackle position. Very stood out on tape a lot, even if his stats did not back it up. Very good, solid player. Number four, let me talk about my boy from the University of Miami, Leonard Taylor. Now, the problem with Leonard Taylor is that he didn't play much this year because he only played 8 games. When he was on the field, he was a menace. If it wasn't for the fact that Miami secondary was more confused than a college girl after 15 beers, I would tell you the same thing. Leonard Taylor is an incredible interior pass rusher. He also, you want to watch something incredible? Watch him haunt Drake May's nightmares in the Miami North Carolina game. He was in the backfield so much, he might as well set up a lawn chair, crack a couple, and say, "Hey, Drake, I'll be right here, buddy." Very good, raw, athletic left tackle. I think his biggest problem was his availability. I think he's going to be one of those upside guys that kind of falls in the draft. Number three, Brandon Fisk out of Florida State. Listen, I got to give credit where credit is due. CBS Sports and Pro Football Focus both had it. Like, the first thing they wrote was high football IQ. And you can see it. Great pass rusher, good quickness. Good impact player in a 4-3 defensive scheme. Nothing that makes me stand out a lot, but like a smart player with enough athletic ability to kind of go with it. Solid defensive tackle. The problem is with, like, this year with defensive tackles, there's no Jalen Carter. There's no Jordan Davis. There's no, like, oh my Lord, this guy's a freak. I mean, there is one, but he might be arrested. So, number two, Johnny Newton out of Illinois, even though they pronounced it here on Pro Football Focus as Jarzon Newton. Jarzon. Okay, we're going with Jarzon. Out of Illinois, number 11th ranked prospect on their big board. Much like my friend from Penn State, Olympic fashion, freak athlete, okay? His tape kind of reminded me of a defensive tackle version. I don't know if you guys remember Jonathan Owusu-Koramoah coming out of Notre Dame a few years ago. His tape was incredible. Similar in the fact that I'm like, that's a defensive tackle moving like that. That's not fair. So the hand usage, pass rushing tools, the blocking ability, all the stuff you preach with interior pass rushers, all there. But they have a more 3-5 technique, so like almost like a 3-4 end kind of line. But honestly, wouldn't be the worst idea in the world for him. I think he's honestly a great player. He's going to be great on any team he goes to. Chrissy, if we drafted a replacement for Fletcher Cox, I would not be upset about that.
Honestly, dude, I'll take your word for it. I don't know much of the guy. I trust you, your college football word. So hopefully it pans out.
By the way, I will be guest starring on a certain college football NFL draft show that will be taking place on a certain network on a certain April 25th. So look out for that when the announcement is made.
Can't wait to tell you what I'm doing during the draft. I might.
Watching our show?
Yeah, obviously on one screen, but like, yeah, I know.
This board was made before of the recent updates. Byron Murphy is the top edge. Is it Murphy or Street who got arrested? Somebody get clarification on that for me?
Murphy or who?
Murphy or Street. Which Texas defensive tackle got arrested? One of them did. All right. Byron Murphy is by far and away the best defensive tackle prospect in this draft.
Was that something Sweat?
Oh, so it is the other guy. He was my own mention. Byron Murphy is currently the 9th ranked prospect on PFF's big board. And it's because he does everything right. He's a 3-down rusher. You don't have to worry about taking him off the field for any other play. He's like, I kind of put him in that same class as like the guys who not like Catavius Street, Geno Atkins, Jalen Carter. You throw back all the way in the day to Ndamukong Suh, Fletcher Cox, guys who could stand on the field for 3 plays and wreak havoc wherever you run, pass, does not matter. Murphy has that upside, was great at Texas on an incredible defensive line. I'm a big fan of Byron Murphy. I think he really is one of those guys who we really can make an impact day one. I think he will be a top 10 pick. Do I think he's going to go higher than 10 or 9? Probably not, because there's so many quarterbacks going in the top 5 this year. It's a little terrifying. All right. Finally, we're going to the position everyone loves. But first, gentlemen, how do you rank my rankings and my pronunciations of the Madden names?
Well, the pronunciation was a lot better, I must say. Yeah. When you have basic names like Johnny Newton or Newtown and, Byron Murphy, you know, I would be very upset if you got those incorrect. But
you fumble those, I'm calling your teacher.
I still wrote the wrong name.
Oh, geez.
It was Newton, not Newtown.
It's Newton.
Jeez.
Newtown. Oh, Neutron.
Other than that, you did a solid job.
Newtown is the town next to mine, so.
No Clemson guy. This is a fun name. Rook or Horhoro?
Yeah, you pronounce that one. You judge nerd. All right, we're going to defensive ends. Only one of them is going to probably make my brain melt. Top edge prospects. Here we go.
Edge, not the wrestler.
Yeah, not rated R.
Don't get confused.
PG.
Yeah, let's go, Brandon.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. I was like, all right, well.
I was writing these down while eating dinner, and I was like, oh, Brandon. Oh, whatever.
Yeah.
I really butchered the hell out of it.
We insulted so many athletes tonight.
I know. This was bad.
You're going to DM the corner booth account and ask for one of our heads. It's all right. The one guy.
If I butcher these names, except for number three on this list, then I think it's time for me to retire for the night.
You should give us the shot.
Top five edge rushers. Here we go. All right. Number five, Darius Robinson out of Missouri. I heard all about the number two guy on this list from Alabama. Not obviously Dallas Turner. I am a big fan of Darius Robinson. Very powerful, kind of an edge power rusher. Something a little rare on these days. Most of our guys are finesse speed guys. It almost kind of lends him to being versatile in either scheme. I kind of like the versatility out of that. Also, Mizzou's defense was actually kind of solid this year, and I feel like he was one of the motors behind it. Number four, the NFL Combine superstar himself, Chop Robinson. Besides having an amazing name and running a ridiculous 40 time, he's this year's Nolan Smith. He is going to start slow and come on great late and be a decent player going to the next year. He is extremely – he comes from Penn State, which has always a good tradition with edge rushers. Go back as far back as A.J. Espinosa. Actually, Espinosa was Iowa. Thinking of the wrong guy. The guy from the Chiefs 2 years ago I drafted. Anyway, he's raw. This is my raw athlete pick. If you guys haven't noticed, by all my draft rankings, there's always that one raw athlete that's ranked way too high on this list. I always am a sucker for the guy who runs the faster 40, benches more, has a quicker agility drill, because I always think there is a 50-50 shot that can translate it to, with good coaching, to be a good talent. So Chop Robinson is that guy. Number three, here we go. Liatu Latu, UCLA.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, wow. I didn't think you would get that one.
My one problem is he gives me Derek Barnett vibes. Rough athletically. I am not a fan of this dude's physical traits. Yes, Micah Parsons. I forgot about Micah Parsons 3 years ago. Anyway, Latu's biggest problem to me is his athleticism, but his hand movements are great. He basically will not fall off as fast as some of these guys who rely on that athleticism. That's why he's ranked this high. Longevity stake, he's there for a longer time, not an immediate time. Number two, it's like a stumpy joke here, because I swear to God, the two first things I saw about this guy were his shorter arms, and he has my name apparently. Jared Verse, Florida State. They're worried about his arm length, but his ability to tackle, his ability to get off. He's a hard worker. He's one of those guys that's kind of going to be like a Brandon Graham, where he's not going to have like ridiculous numbers, but he's going to be somebody you have to account for because he's going to make problems in the backfield. Jared Verse is kind of an interesting pick here. Number 17, he is that good supporting cast edge rusher. Let's say you have a Hassan Reddick, a Nick Bosa, I'll throw in our boy, new boy, Bryce Huff, whatever. It does not matter. Let's say you have that top tier 1A pass rusher and you need a guy who's going to eat up a backside block and a fullback and still make about 50 tackles for a loss and about 9, 8, 7, 8 sacks a year. This is your guy. Jared Verse is kind of that in-betweener. I think my pro comp to him is Brandon Graham. I like his ability there. Number one, now we go to the big guy, Dallas Turner. Now, my biggest thing about Dallas Turner is we've been hearing for the entire year how he is the number one edge rusher. And there was a time where he was kind of falling out of that race. Now he's back in the top five. Highest ceiling. Good edge rusher. He's improved against the run. Now, it's Alabama defense, so you always have to throw it a grain of salt. when there's six other guys in the defense who could make the NFL. But on tape, Dallas Turner is the best one I saw in this class. I like watching all the other guys. Watching edge rusher tape is just fun to me because I get to see the guy left tackles on skates. Dallas Turner, great combo of size and power. I wanted to see more this year during the season, if that makes sense. I thought he was great, but I'm like, I keep hearing about how this kid is the elite of elite edge rushers. Like, we all heard about Will Anderson. Will Anderson is that dude. Everyone said Dallas Turner was better. And I'm like, okay, where is it? So that is my top five edge rushers. Next week, we'll finish up with linebackers, safeties, and corners. Inside linebackers, safeties, and corners. Gentlemen, how are we doing? What do you think of my rankings? Any comments before we kind of get into the end of the show?
Your pronunciations from the first set of guys to the last set of guys has skyrocketed. So I applaud you.
Yeah, I got to give it to you. Yeah, you tackled that Leitu Latu one really well. I don't even know if I'm saying that right, but like I give you credit on that one. You got better as you got warmed up. I like the rankings. I think the only difference I had was I think I threw Chris Braswell in there at the end, the other Bama guy.
Yeah, I don't like ever doubling up on edge rushers in a draft class because if they're both coming out, one of them generally was the cannon fodder. If that makes sense. So the Jalen Phillips draft class, you had Quincy Roche, who's bounced around a bunch of teams, and Jalen Phillips from Miami. It was Greg Rousseau and Jalen. Greg Rousseau and Phillips never played together. There was another one a couple years ago where they had Ojobo and Aiden Hutchinson. Now, Ojobo, I think, is a great player. The problem is he's just the injuries and everything else. But Aiden Hutchinson is that dude. I don't ever really like getting the second guy in an edge rushing duo because it always feels like the first one off the board generally is the one that's better. So that's just my opinion there. I still probably take him second or third round, but I'm not spending a first round pick on him.
It's like, even if you go back further, it's like Leonard Floyd and Jordan Jenkins. We took Jordan Jenkins, who was a solid linebacker, but he was never Leonard Floyd.
Mm-hmm. He basically got free one-on-ones because Leonard Floyd is taking at least one tackle and a fullback with him every play.
Yeah.
All righty. Well, gentlemen, that is my draft preview for this week. Obviously, next week we will talk defensive backs and off-ball linebackers, which should be very fun because obviously there are a lot of good cornerbacks in this draft, in particular Kool-Aid McKistry, which, by the way, still is the best name. I'm just so happy he's in the draft this year. Also, the legend of the white flash, Cooper DeJean. So, there you go.
I had dream and aspirations before DJ Reed became a solid cornerback too for us, but I really wanted Sauce Gardner and Kool-Aid McKinstry in the cornerback field, but I don't think that's going to happen anymore.
Kool-Aid Sauce. All right, Chrissy, I promise you this. How was your live experience at WrestleMania? You got about a minute or two. Roll for it.
Oh, my God. It was, as John Cena in The Rock's promo is promoted, once in a lifetime. Oh, my God. God damn, they big screened me. When the transition from the Bloodline to John Cena coming out and then The Undertaker, or The Rock, then The Undertaker – be honest with you, I cried. I literally cried. You can hear me. I'll probably send you the videos. I'm bawling like a baby. I'm a Cody crybaby. The story is over. Cody Rhodes is victorious. After months and years of being screwed because of every little fact in the WWE, my guy has reached to the top. He went from a side character with legacy, Randy Orton, Ted DiBiase to the top of the throne. So I hope he carries the next generation like John Cena did, as I show my respect for my guy, like always. But it was amazing. Like the whole thing, the convention, the event, like everything that led up to it was just outstanding. So
I got to ask you though, brother, what about Lane Johnson and Jason Kelsey's appearances?
I screamed too. I might have said, go fudgesicle birds, because I don't say the F word anymore. Man of God.
Did you know it was them before they unmasked, or did you?
Yeah, I definitely knew, because there were reports saying that they got Jason Kelce to confirm that he was going. And then, like, I saw, like, a shorter, stockier guy and, like, you know, a taller, huskier dude. And I'm like, it's probably Jason Kelce and Lane Johnson. And then everybody was like, no way. But then, like, by the way, like, as you guys know, about 90% of the crowd for WrestleMania is worldwide. So, like, there's people. We had people from 64 different countries there. I'm talking everywhere. I made friends with everyone.
Austria-Hungary.
What's up?
Said Austria-Hungary was there?
Probably. Yeah. There's so many different Chris's.
I don't think they've been in
64 different countries. It was insane. It was scary. But all in all, it was so fun now. Like, if I could relive it again, I would.
Thanks, buddy. I am very happy. I was it was kind of cool seeing your little play-by-play there. And
your boy was there the whole weekend.
Seemed like you're having a blast the entire time. It was good to see.
I think oh, yeah, dude. Boots on the ground.
Boots on the ground. All right. Well, gentlemen, this show has been brought to you by the amazing folks at canapes.com. Promo code BELLYUP20 for 20% off. Promo code for SeatGeek is BELLYUPSPORTS, $20 off your initial purchase. And Righteous Felon promo code BELLYUP for 15% off at your purchase. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Corner Booth Podcast. Our next episode is the Corner Booth Pregame, which me and Chris will be running Maddie's off this week. We'll be going off on Thursday at 7 p.m. No idea who we got on, because both Kelce and DJ are out this week. So it's going to be an interesting cast of characters, to say the least. Be staying tuned for all things updates when it comes to the NFL draft. And all things coming belly up. A lot of big things coming from belly up. So it's a lot of stuff to be fun, having fun with the show. A quick announcement. We will not be doing repeat episodes via YouTube because of their repeat content policy is a thing. I don't know. Either way, what we might start doing, we might start doing clip shows, or we'll find out some other way. Either that, or we'll just let Chris go live on camera for 30 minutes and just turn a mute button on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're going to have to. I'm going to say some outlandish stuff. Not anymore, though. I stopped.
You have turned to Jesus. All right. Gentlemen, this has been the Corner Booth Podcast, episode 285. I hope you have a great night. Enjoy the national championship game. We will see you guys on Thursday. Adios.
Take care, guys. Love you.
Hey guys, Jared, thanks for checking out the Corner Booth Pod. Be sure to check us out on Twitter and Instagram at Corner Booth Pod. This podcast is brought to you by the Belly Up Podcast Network.